verifying you.
Welcome.
The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
That's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, welcome on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hey, who is Eddie Robinson, and why is this such a big deal? Is it always Eddie? Is Eddie Robinson like the pinnacle of Coach of the Year?
I think there's several Coach of the Year honors, but I think this is certainly a big one. Eddie Robinson was the coach of, I want to say, Grambling. But anyway, he's...
Yes.
He had the, for a long time, had the most wins in college football history.
The illustrious Grambling.
Wait, is this a watching the watch list?
No, this is not a watching the watch list.
No, these are the lists that actually matter.
These people have put in the work, Lloyd, and now they're just waiting for the recognition.
Oh,
hey, by the way, does it interest you at all, Scotty G? Does it interest you at all who sent the... SID reports first, and who got it in last?
Ooh, I like this idea. All right, so the Eddie Robinson Award goes to the best coach in all of college football, Coach of the Year Award, national.
Yeah.
And out of the 10 finalists, three of them are from the state of Utah.
Correct.
You got Blake Anderson, you got Kalani Sitake, and Kyle Whittingham, which is a remarkable, incredible accomplishment.
So cool.
And by the way, all three of them can lay claim to it.
Yeah.
Like, all three of them have developed a great case, and I could sit here and be the campaign manager for each one of them.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a heads up, because I'm going to ask you the question, which one deserves it the most? And we're going to go through this a little bit.
Don't do this to me.
I
was already on with Jake and Ben earlier today, and they asked me which one of my kids I liked most. And I actually listed them 1 through 3 and then thought maybe that's not such a good idea.
They actually asked that?
Well, okay,
it
was on the heels.
Don't do this.
Lloyd knows where this is going.
Yeah, don't do this.
It's not important.
Wait a second. I'm not privy. What?
Let's get to some happened? Sports.
They asked, Jake did a would you rather on who I'd rather spend a year in a two-bedroom apartment with.
Okay.
You or Kevin White.
You said Kevin, didn't you?
No, I said you. Absolutely, I said you.
Lloyd, did he say me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I did.
He did. I'm not.
I just said with Kevin, you know, everything's going to be super clean. There's not going to be any shenanigans at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rent's always going to get paid on time. Like, everything's going to be, like, smooth.
Yeah.
And just, and very direct, and everything's good.
Yeah.
With you, I might wake up at 2 a.m. with something staring me in the face, and I'm not sure what exactly, you know, I don't know what to prepare for.
Good time.
And it could be
staring you in the face. You might put on a collared shirt and be like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah, like, what is that?
And you'd rather live with that?
And so I did pick, but I said, but it would be a hell of a lot of fun. So I picked you.
Well, and you know you deal with me every day. You deal with Kevin once a week for a period of time through a year. So it would be upsetting to me if you wouldn't have chosen.
That was actually one of the reasons I said that, because Hans is probably driving.
How did this get into you ranking your kids?
Well, then because Ben then followed up because he thought Jake was asking me to say, like, you know, pick between my kids.
Yeah, Jake was out of line.
And then Ben just like, well, hey, which one are your kids? Because he thought it was funny and thought I wouldn't answer it, but then I did answer it.
You did not.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, but I also said, like, it changes day by day, hour by hour.
Every day.
Like, right now, Jake's up in Logan, and I don't get to hang out with him, and so I don't get the fun stuff. I just get the expensive stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's third right now.
Yeah, because it's expensive.
Now, when he comes back for Christmas break and we're hanging out and having a good time, then he's going to jump up in the power rankings.
Yeah. Yeah, because things get more affordable and he's there to help.
He's around the house and he's fun. And I'm
he's probably working, has a job. Maybe he'll pitch in a couple hundred bucks a month for rent.
that probably won't happen.
Yeah, but I would mention that to him, that might help his ranking.
If you want to get up there in the numbers, then that's good.
So does it make a difference to you who sent the release first?
All right, I've not looked at emails.
It doesn't actually make a difference, but it's kind of funny.
All right, so this is a contest between Paul Kirk, Doug Hoffman, and Brett Pine, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Let's see here. I'm going to go Doug Hoffman 1, Paul Kirk 2. So Utah State 1, Utah 2, BYU 3.
You got the number 3, right? So the release came out at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
All right. Paul Kirk got his release out at 11:05 for Kyle Whittingham.
Attaboy, Paul.
Bam. Paul was on it.
So Utah's one.
Utah was one. Doug Hoffman checked in at 11:23.
Ooh, Doug.
Sleeping at the wheel a bit.
Come on, Doug. Let's go.
And Brett Pine leaked in at 11:41.
Oh, Brett.
You've got a guy who's on the bubble here, man. He's being mentioned as the possible coach for Oregon. That you get that thing out at 10:59.9. Oh, 0.5. Like, come on the hop, bud.
Oh, man.
On the hop.
See, I think we need to do this more, like rank sports information directors. I'm sure they would love that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. By the way, they're all great.
They are.
They're all great. In the past, we've had some bad ones.
Yes.
That are unbearable human beings. Like, horrible human beings. Miserable.
There was one who didn't people. Let you speak to the media at all, which actually was him doing his job, but at the time, I know it was a little frustrating for you.
Which we've repaired that.
Yes.
we're actually...
When you were a player, he's like, and Hans Olsen is not available for comment. Hans like, yeah, I am.
We're actually good friends now. But those are tough days. Because I'd get calls from people, and they'd be like, hey, we tried like 4 times last week. I'm like, I would have loved to talk to you. They're like, yeah, we didn't. There was a wall put up. And I was like, oh, man. But right now we've got some good ones.
Yes.
And we've had some really good ones in the past. I still miss Liz Abel.
I do, too.
She was awesome.
Paul Kirk is one of the finest human beings on the planet.
Yes,
Liz,
he is.
Liz was Liz, man, and she bust your chops, too.
What's funny is people don't really get to see the inside of the media relationship with a university and how much you rely on the SIDs to be the intermediary, kind of the go-between and fix things and make sure that everything's set up. But I just thought it was kind of funny because Kalani's thing – because what I was going to do, I was going to start the show out with, hey, I've seen 2 press releases. I have not seen the third, but he did get it under.
But then it came in.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter in the long run of it. It doesn't matter. I just thought it would be a funny conversation. But Scotty, back to the question, because you can answer this honestly and not get yourself in trouble on this one.
Okay.
Which coach deserves the Eddie Robinson from the state of Utah, if one were to be given? Now, you got to think through scenarios.
Yep.
Kalani loses the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft. But still, he had an 11-1 season and a great roster to play with last year and had some good pieces. Kyle Whittingham put together a nice stretch at the back end of the condensed season last year. And then he found his quarterback and things exploded. There was one guy that stepped into a puddle of mud in his first year. I don't understand how he did what he did.
Look, I know that it's going to come across as bias, but I'm going to go with Blake Anderson.
It won't come across as bias because he did more with what would be perceived as less.
I mean, 1-5, and honestly, you and I know a little bit more about what was going on behind the scenes and even went out publicly.
The 1-5 is the least of it.
Yes, the record was the least of the issues. You're 100% right.
If people understood what was going on behind the scenes, and, you know, I think that there was a couple of glimpses, very public glimpses of it. One of them was the Frank Miley situation with some of the unfortunate things that were said, and it created a big public stir, and it was horrible to get through. And I'm sure that university struggled and suffered. And there was a lot of damage, and that was painful. And at the time, it was like, well, who's even going to come in and take over this mess? This is a mess. This is a big, unmitigated mess. It's 1-5. There's all these other things that are buzzing and causing problems. And here comes Blake Anderson. Calms everything down. Goes on to win 10 games. Goes on to win a Mountain West Conference championship. Not only would I give it to him from the state, he should get the Eddie Robinson.
Yeah, and he won't. No. It'll go to, I'm sure, Nick Saban or whoever.
He couldn't even get the Mountain West Conference head coach.
I know, and that's the thing that really bothers me. Where's Brady Hoke on that thing? Oh, he's not? And yet, I mean, that just shows the level of disrespect that was pointed towards Utah State's way this year.
Horrible.
Yeah.
High level. And I don't know if they just didn't buy into it. It is kind of funny, and I will fully admit, it took me a while to come along with Utah State. It just as far as like being for real. And I know there might be some people that still step back and they're like, yeah, but are they for real, for real? No, they proved it. They're for real. Now, there's a bit of magic that surrounds this team that allowed them some comeback moments against Air Force and Washington State. And who are some of the other early comebacks?
I mean, even
was UNLV up?
UNLV was a comeback.
Was Colorado State up?
Colorado State. You had to have that weird field goal situation at the end with Colorado State. I mean, there's years where things just kind of, you know, and that's why that San Diego State game was kind of a microcosm of the whole season where 50-50 balls were all going their way. And there was just a lot of just things that were like, wow, that's really fortunate. And Utah State's had a lot of that go their way this year, but they've earned it. I mean, you talk about, you know, that's coaching, that's preparation. When you're busting your butt doing all the right things, somehow those 50-50 balls kind of seem to go your way.
Exactly. It's coaching. That's preparation. And so I kept standing back, like, through UNLV and Colorado State and Hawaii, and I'm standing back like, boy, they're just living on the edge. They are living on a prayer.
Yeah.
This team is lucking through a lot of things. And then they get a nice, convincing win against New Mexico State, and then they played a good San Jose State team and blew them out. Just ripped them in half. Put 48 points on them and beat them up. And then there was that weird hiccup against Wyoming.
Yep.
And then they put two really good games together, including the Mountain West Conference Championship game, where, they blew out a good San Diego State team. I know that there are going to be people out there, Scotty. They're like, well, yeah, but it's the Pac-12 and Kyle Whittingham won it. And yeah, that's great. And it's a high acknowledgement.
Yep.
And Kyle Whittingham deserves to be one of the three coaches from the state of Utah on that list. Same with Kalani Sitake. The amount of games that he's won in a two-year period and how hard he's fought and how much he does with less, Kalani should absolutely get the acknowledgement. But I have to fully admit this. Going into that San Diego State game, I felt like Utah State had some chances if the coaching was right.
Yeah.
How much emphasis did I put that whole week?
A lot.
I said, Scotty, they've got a chance, but the coaching has to be right because the San Diego State scheme provides so many different issues. Watching that game now a couple of times and going through and looking at certain aspects of it, it was such a brilliant coaching effort in that Mountain West Conference Championship game. Which, yeah, you could nominate the offense coordinator, you could nominate the defense coordinator, but that's not how it goes. The ultimate representation is your head coach. You know, Kyle Whittingham is only as brilliant as Morgan Scully and Andy Ludwig allow him to be.
Yep.
And because he made the hire, that shows more to his brilliance. Kalani Sitake the same way with Aaron Roderick and Itu Iaki. You know, he's reliant on those guys. Blake Anderson made a couple of good hires, and both those coordinators, if I could pin a rose on their nose for that Mountain West Conference Championship game, I would certainly do it.
Is that something you do?
Yeah, you pin a rose on the nose of somebody that has high accomplishment.
Well, I don't know if somebody actually wants, like, a sharp object going through their nose.
Well, do you even know where that comes from?
No, I've never heard it before.
Oh, you've heard the term pin a rose on his nose.
Well, pin a rose on your nose.
Yeah.
It's actually more mocking. It's meant to be mocking.
I've never in my life heard that phrase. It's like, wow, you did a good job. Well, get over here. Let me shove this needle through your nose. Like, well, actually, now I wish I would have done poorly.
used to tell someone that nobody cares. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's not actually that good.
Wrong usage.
Basically, what you're calling that person when you say that, you're calling them a brown noser.
Often used when one does not want to listen to a long story someone else wants to tell. This phrase most likely originated from the early 1990s show Full House.
Full House, huh?
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, I'm going to have to use a different
pin
phrase.
Pin that rose on Aunt Becky's nose.
Huh? I'm going to have to use a different phrase. Do you remember the first show we did together, probably back in like 2006? We were talking about mind your P's and Q's, and I asked you where the P's and Q's come from. And I had a theory. I'd actually read it in one of those bathroom books.
It was from a printing press, right?
Well, yes. The P's and Q's come from the printing press, but there are actually two theories of where it came from. You mentioned the printing press, but mine was back in old Ireland, they served their beer in pints and quarts. And as a patron, you were supposed to keep track of how many pints or how many quarts to mind your P's and your Q's so that you can get the proper tab. I think that yours is more accurate because I went to the printing press there in New York where the first Book of Mormon was printed.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at all those little letters and how the P was by the Q.
Yeah.
And if you didn't mind
it, flip-flop them, then you got a problem there.
Yeah, then you got a problem. And so it actually made sense to me, but anyways. So, no, don't pin a rose on his nose, like an actual metal.
So mind your P's and Q's when you use the term pin a rose on the nose.
Yes. Otherwise, you're going to look like a fool, like I just did.
You don't look like a fool.
A little bit.
I just had never heard the phrase before.
Blake Anderson.
Yeah.
And his staff. Holy cow. Honestly, one of the most incredible coaching efforts I have witnessed in 16 years of being on air. One of the most incredible coaching efforts I've witnessed since I've been playing sports.
Yes.
To take, and this is not to mean offense because I've got good friends on that roster, to take a ragtag group, and I might need to go check and see what that means, but
I think you're right.
Yeah, to take a group of this is, it was such a mix and match. This whole roster is a mix and match. And I know everybody's roster, but this one's more. I remember talking to you, and you and I were going back and forth before this season started. We're like, what do you think? Sub 10 transfers? 11 are going to get playing and starting time?
Well, and how about getting those guys? It's one thing to get transfers. It's another thing to, A, make sure they're good, and then, B, make sure that they can gel with the rest of your team. And we talk about this all the time. A couple of years ago when the Jazz kind of remade their roster, it took a month into the season before they start clicking.
Yeah. Yeah, this team jumps in and beats a and beats a Pac-12 team.
Right out of the gate. And ended up being a pretty good Pac-12 team, too.
It did. Yeah, as far as Pac-12 teams are considered, one of the top thirds, for sure. Washington State put together some good wins after they fired a coach, strangely.
Kalani Sitake, I mean, look, you look at all three coaches. If you're if you're selling one of those coaches, you could make a great case for each one of them, honestly, to win Coach of the Year. I would, it's going to go to probably Jim Harbaugh for his turnaround at Michigan.
It's got to go to somebody
at Georgia.
High profile.
I love that Nick Saban. Why is Nick Saban on this list?
Stop with Nick Saban.
Why is Nick Saban on this list? And it'll either be him or Harbaugh or, you know, whatever. Maybe Luke Fickell.
He's overcome so much adversity. Come on.
Who?
You guys, it's not easy to reload a team every single year. Yeah,
everybody's expectations.
Actually, if you're Alabama, it is pretty easy.
Yeah.
I've got guys leaving every year, man.
It just bugs me. It's like, you know what that is? That's like giving Steve Kerr coach a year when he had Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, that whole roster. He doesn't deserve coach of the year.
Yeah.
It's the guy that's slugging through difficulties that doesn't have the roster that puts himself in the Western Conference Finals. That's the guy that deserves the coach of the year. to me, and I know more about Blake Anderson than I know about Narduzzi at Pitt or Napier at Louisiana, but if people really did their research to look at where this university was as a football program to where they've finished this season as a football program, holy cow.
Yeah.
Pin a rose on his lapel.
Yeah. See, better. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Tyler tweets in, Hans said, you asked the Taco Bell girl to clear up the P's and Q's confusion. No, that was at the border. That was...
She told me that the Canadian border was open.
Which, by the way, you see that now if you're in the NBA and you are not vaccinated, you are not allowed to play in Toronto?
Oh, well, that's actually not a surprise. Toronto's being stingy. Canada's acting like they're the creme de la creme.
You're America's hat. Dial it down a little bit.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I told him at the border. I'm like, Come on. I said, you think I'm trying to, like, enroll into Princeton? Is that what you're, like, you're giving me a non-acceptance letter here? I'm just trying to get in to have a meal in Toronto. Let me go spend my money in Toronto.
You're Canada. You should be grateful somebody wants to go there.
And the Mountie or whatever they call him started laughing at me. And he's got the black strap across his red shirt
and serious?
The flat brim hat. And he's sitting there laughing at me.
You can't take a guy that looks like that seriously.
That's what I said. I was like listen, bub.
What are you going to do? Throw a Tim Horton donut at me? Like what? You're going to lock me up in Canadian prison? Oh, scary.
They were acting like it. And you know what? If I hadn't had all four of my kids and my mom and wife with me, I'd act like more of a tough guy. But I was very submissive because I had mom and the missus and all the kids. And they had guns, you know. They had guns on their side. And it was a little intimidating for the children, but not for me.
Yeah, it's just Bavarian cream in that gun.
Open your mouth.
No bullets in that gun.
So I was like, fine, I'll just go spend my money in New York.
In Buffalo.
Buffalo. They need my money.
Yeah, I'm going to go spend my money in Tatanka.
That's what I told him. I was like, I just thought the Canada could use a little bit of extra money.
The Canada?
Yeah. They were not happy.
Hans and Scotty, we're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Stop by, hang out with us. We'd love to hook you up with some jazz gear. We'd love for you to check out some of these vehicles, all priced to move. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's official. The Utes are the 2021 Pac-12 champs and are heading to the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. What better way for the Utes to make their inaugural trip to the Rose Bowl than a battle against Ohio State? Keep it locked on the Zone Sports Network as we get you ready for the Utes' historic trip to Pasadena. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Rose Bowl is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your day. We are live here at Tim Daly Nissan. Stop by 4528 South State Street. River's been kind enough to load us up with all kinds of jazz gear.
Got a nice looking jazz table today.
I know, right?
A lot of hat selection.
And if you don't come claim it, then the three of us get to take it all home.
And we will.
And we will Christmas shop like crazy.
Yeah.
So get ready, kids. You get jazz hats.
Family members love jazz gear.
So you can just come and take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will actually have to go out and make real-life purchases.
There is a nice selection of female sizes and child sizes. There are paperweights and different hat logos. So come in and grab a hat. You know, we're getting close to turning the whole gears towards the Utah jazz season.
Yes.
And you better not be found without a shirt or a hat or some type of jazz gear. And it's free. There's a big free stacked onto it.
Yeah. There's a lot of F words out there. Free is our favorite.
It is the most exciting one.
Not Lloyd's.
Or Scotty's.
What are you talking about, Lloyd?
Yeah, what are you talking about, Lloyd?
What are you talking about?
Don't, Don't pin this on me, man.
Okay, you didn't try to drop an F-bomb when we were giving away shirts. Or no, actually, he's talking about a golf course.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't come by, go, yeah.
Nope, that's nope.
The golf
course. Did I say it?
But Lloyd, his son did not run out of the house while his mother was trying to back out of the driveway and say, we need to get the beep out of here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, exactly. I never actually said it. I was trying to say Fox Hollow.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, no. Man. I was like, that felt close. No, that's not what you're trying to say.
That's
not what you're trying to say.
He was trying to say free.
Well, go bleep yourself.
We were giving away free
golf.
No,
that's what you say to your kids.
Whoa. What?
That made Scotty really laugh. He's laughing at himself pretty good now, Lloyd.
Anyway, the bottom line is the F word we're talking about today is free.
Free.
You come by here and you grab free stuff.
That's the word we were talking about the whole time.
Go free yourself.
I don't even know what anybody else is talking about. So everybody's seen the buzz about Oregon requesting an interview with Kalani.
Correct.
Good for Kalani.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get those interviews, get them. Go in, put your best foot forward, and hope for the best.
Go make that money, whether it's at BYU, whether it's at Oregon, whatever the case is.
I see Chip Kelly is a prime candidate, correct?
He is one of the potential candidates. It'll be interesting to see if that's something that he wants. It seems like Oregon has some interest on their part. The head coach at Cal seems to be in the mix on it as well. Although Cal is Cal, it doesn't like he's got a tremendous track record there. But then again, it's Cal, and it's hard to win there. So it's good. There's some good questions out there. I don't know how this thing's going to play out, but it does appear like there will be a certain level of interest pointed towards Kalani Sitake, and he deserves it too.
Do you think UCLA is stressing at all? Are they like, oh, geez, I hope we don't lose Chip Kelly, all the South titles he's brought us?
I don't think UCLA cares about football enough to really be too overly nervous. There's probably somebody down there thinking, hey, you know what? If he comes off our books, then we can hire somebody really cheap.
Yeah. We could save a lot of money. I mean, we could be 8-4 with pretty much anybody.
We can push that money towards the basketball team. This will be great.
So Chip Kelly, 8-4. Chip Kelly was 8-4.
They got off to a good start to the season, too, and then they just kind of fell away as the season went on.
2019. Oh, geez.
I mean, honestly, if you're Oregon, who would you rather have, Kalani Sitake or Chip Kelly?
He was 4-8 in 2019.
Yeah.
What was his first season? Was 2018, right? Oh, geez. He was 9-3 his first year.
Or 3-9, you mean?
Or 3-9, I mean.
Yeah. 3-9, 4-8. Last year was 3-4, and then this year at 8-4.
Yeah, go get him, Oregon.
Now, he did have Oregon. He's the guy that transitioned Oregon into the high-powered, you know, monster that they became, and then it kind of trailed off after he left and Helfrich took over. So
and the entire NCAA world transitioned their defense to an extra
an
extra backfield defender.
And so here's the question: he's not going to be able to replicate that same level of success.
Not
in
a chance.
The rest of college football is caught up.
He would have done it at UCLA.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So why not go with somebody that's going to give you and again I hope Kalani Sitake gets rewarded. I hope he's somewhere where he's happy, and if that's at BYU, then great. That makes our lives easier because we like him and we like talking to him and we like covering him. But if Oregon comes calling with a truckload of cash, then that's something you got to talk about, because it's not just you, it's not just your family, but it's your coordinators, it's everybody else associated with gets a huge bump as well. And I know there's coaches out there that feel a responsibility to not only take care of themselves, but take care of the staff that's been through the trenches with them, getting them to this point in their mm-hmm. in their career.
Well, I just have a feeling that the world of transfer portal attached to Kalani Sitake is a real big issue. Because Kalani is a relationship man. And you look at the talent that has surrounded him since he's come in. You know, I know that James Empey, we have him on every Monday. I know his dad was a part of that original coaching staff. But you go from James Empey to the Barrington brothers over to the defensive side. You could look at Tyler Batty and you could look at Fatea Mahe and Gabe Summers. You go into that second line and you look at guys like Peyton Wilgar, and then you go back in the defensive backfield. The talent is emotionally connected to Satake. One of the things I would caution BYU against more than anything is, you know, we saw that Oregon, whatever, big-time commit. It was one of the biggest storylines in the nation yesterday when Coach Cristobal left this Oregon big-time five-star or whatever. He decommitted. And there's probably going to be four or five more like that from Oregon. If Kalani leaves BYU, understand that it would be 2 to 3 times more, in my opinion.
Ooh.
Just because of the connection that I see him make with players and with players' families. So you lose Kalani, you're going to lose some good coordinators. You're going to lose a very good head coach, but you're going to lose the lifeblood, and that's your talent. And I'm not saying BYU can't rebuild, because there's always kids that want to come play at BYU. But Kalani's done a really good job of identifying the right kids to come play at BYU. You know, and so I would caution BYU, don't mess around. And if the big number comes and if the offer comes, get on board. Get on board or get out. Get on board or send your resignation to the Big 12 and say, we're just not ready for that. We're not ready. Because if they don't pay Kalani, then what that tells me is BYU saying, well, we think we can do it with a lesser coach. Well, guess what? You build another lesser coach into something big and he leaves, now you're back to square one.
You know, that's one of the impressive things I thought Utah did when they went to the Pac-12 is, number one, realizing Kyle Whittingham's worth and then paying him in the and Kyle Whittingham's not just on par with Pac-12 coaches. I believe he's in the top 2 or 3 of highest paid coaches in the Pac-12. Because you're going to make an investment in your coaches. You're going to be like, look, if we're doing this, we're not going to be a stepping school. We did that in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
Don't want to do that anymore. We're going to develop a staff here that, because when's the last time somebody came, and obviously nobody's poached Kyle Whittingham, but name me a coach that somebody has poached from the University of Utah coaching staff that went for a lateral move.
Nobody leaves lateral.
It's never happened.
No.
A lateral move, it's never happened at Utah. Because Kyle Whittingham, if he wants you, is going to be like, and it'll be like, let's say, trying to think of Morgan Scally, and I don't, there's never been any conversations. I'm sure some people have talked to Morgan, but let's say somebody comes calling and says, hey, Texas just called and they want me to be their defensive coordinator. And Kyle Whittingham's like, all right, well, what's the offer? Well, it's this. He's like, all right, there it is.
Yep.
You're staying. And he stays.
It's that simple. Why? Oh, because we're trying to compete for a Pac-12 championship, which they just won.
Yep. And that's what BYU's got to do because – and it's not just about Kalani Sitake, it's about the coordinators. Because Kalani needs to get paid, number one. But number two, he's got to have a coaching pool that he can maintain his coaches.
Right.
So that when somebody tries to pluck Aaron Roderick off his staff or Ituiaki off his staff, he said, this is the number we need to be at. All right, then we're good. And we're going to stay. Because as great as a head coach is, he's got to have the coordinators to be successful.
Do not allow lateral moves.
Yes.
And you're right, Utah doesn't. And I know of a couple of attempts to poach that staff through the years that were thwarted by a number that the other school couldn't match. And good for the guys that are getting paid. You know, when somebody comes after a Colton Swan or somebody comes after a Sione Pua or Lewis Powell or a Sharif Shah, they're gonna keep them as long as they want to keep them.
Yeah.
They keep who they want to keep.
Now, if somebody were to come calling, let's say Utah State, loses Ephraim Bonda, and Blake Anderson calls up Colton Swan and says, I want Colton Swan to be my defensive coordinator, Kyle Whittingham will probably pat him on the back and say,
go be better.
Go be better.
Yeah.
And move up the food chain.
Yep. Go become whatever
yeah.
coordinator or head coach
That's
you want
to
become.
That's not a lateral move.
No. Okay. So another angle that we need to attack on this. So, well, we go back into our early radio days, and I remember sitting down with a radio guy, and I said to him, why did I just sign this non-compete? And the guy explained to me what the base of the non-compete is about. Basically, we put our signal and sources into you to build you into something great. And then when you become something great, we don't want to just lose you to something else and let you go be great somewhere. Just because we built you. You know, I look at Quinn Snyder and his staff's ability to develop talent. You know, they put all these resources into developing these individuals. And when they get to that peak, well, you got to have the bird rights. You got to have the opportunity to retain. You got to be able to keep them around. If not, then that talent just goes and you have to play against it and you got to fight against it. So what do you do? You've got certain things that keeps those guys around, and you make sure you make early offers, keep them happy, and keep them there so you don't have to play against them at some point. BYU has put a brand behind Kalani. Now, whether they've given him every resource they could give him, I'm not here to answer that. My guess is no, that things could have been better for, you know, for all things. Like, for instance, and I know people hate this when I talk about this, but – I was standing in the indoor facility when, like, an assistant AD chased the football team out of the indoor facility to bring on some intramural soccer team. And I remember when the exchange was going on, there was some heat that was going on between coaches because it was an important practice. This was either back in Broncos day or, like, the first year of Kalani. It goes back a couple of years. And it was like, wait a second, why are they leaving for this? And then I did a little research. Well, football team doesn't own it. They have to schedule the rights to it. They did get a wider window of hour that they could use it in. But when that time was up, they were off. And the intramural soccer team was on. Or the intramural rugby team was on. Like, those things are unacceptable when we're talking about Big 12 football. And we're talking about big-time football programs.
Yeah.
You know, take the steps. So here's the key. BYU has helped build Kalani. Now, the brand has brought some players. Kalani brings some. The brand brings some. But they've worked in tandem to build Kalani into a coach now that is 21 and what?
Three? Yeah.
21 and three over the last 2 years.
Correct.
It's 21 and three over the last 2 years. BYU has helped that. You don't want to help build that knowing where you're headed into the Big 12, and let somebody else take that talent and go use it. Go take that name that you helped build and go use it. Now, Kalani's built his name. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's built his name. He's done the work. He's done more work, I think, than most head coaches. But still, BYU has to look at that and say, no, that's our product, and we can't just let somebody else take our product and do work with it when we're headed towards the Big 12. You know, it's like the University of Utah when they were headed to the Pac-12. The last thing they could afford was to lose Kyle Whittingham in that moment.
Yep.
The last thing BYU could afford is to lose Kalani Sitake. Imagine trying to develop a new head coach through 1 year before you enter in
to the
Big 12.
It's an incredible point. And look, there are certain realizations of what life is like at this level. And I remember Kyle Whittingham in 2011, their first year in the Pac-12, they finished off their non-conference, and somebody asked him, he goes, well, are you ready for it? Because I believe it was USC on the road in the Coliseum was their first ever Pac-12 game. And somebody goes, are you ready for, next week? And he's like, like, it was all fun and games and the press conferences and everything was great. We're in the Pac-12. And then Kyle's like, oh, man, we got to play USC in the Coliseum for a conference game. Like, that realization of, like, oh, this is our life now. Well, guess what, BYU? This is your moment right now. This is what your life is realizing, oh, our coach that we were paying maybe, I don't know, I'm just guessing, $1.5 million to? Guess what? To even remotely come close to trying to keep him, you're going to be well over three and maybe pushing four, if not higher.
If Oregon comes in.
If Oregon comes in, it might be five or six.
Yeah, because Oregon could come in at seven or eight.
Yes, and so it's like, all right, this is what you wanted. This is what you've been dying for so many years. You've wanted this, and now you got to act like it. Now, these are your big boy moments now as running an athletic department. These are your big boy decisions you're going to have to make because you are not going to survive in the Big 12 with the current coaching salary that you're paying and the current assistant pool that you're paying. Mm-hmm. Those are going to have to quadruple or whatever five times triple means.
Yeah.
Like, that's it's just that's the reality. That's your world now.
And if not, then you pay what you pay and you get what we get. And
you're Kansas.
And, yeah, we're going to deal through some different things. And then when you develop a coach that gets a couple of wins, he's gone. And then when you develop a new coach that gets a couple of wins, he's gone. And then you just start this constant revolving door. This is not you can't just expect him. You can't just say, hey, you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You should probably stay here as the coach of the university that represents the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Can't do it.
Well, how much are you paying? $800,000.
Way less than anybody else in the Big 12. Nope.
Sorry, I'm gone.
I honestly think paying somebody their market value is honest. Paying somebody underneath their market value is dishonest. So make sure that you're making an honest offer and that you're paying an honest wage, not to just Kalani. And I don't worry about Kalani. Kalani's done fine. Make sure it's across the board. Yep. You know, if I was going to give some advice to Oregon, I'd say, hey, Oregon, do your research. Do your research and find out what really makes Coach Satake tick. Because it's not about taking care of Coach Satake. It really isn't. And, Scotty, I know that there's going to be a lot of people out there that are like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. If Oregon was smart, they would come in from another direction. And if they really did want Kalani, they'd come in from another direction and say, hey, just so you know, we're going to take care of your top four assistants. We're going to take care of your family. We're going to put your family up in this area and this area. And we're going to make sure that your other family in these areas have this, this, and this all provided. And we're going to make sure that anybody that transfers or any kids that want to come with you to the university, all those kids are very well taken care of with this, this, and this, as much as we can give them. That's the angle you come at. And then when it comes to Kalani, it's, well, we want to extend just a real opportunity for you to look at this as a long-term solution for you as a coach. Because in the world of coaching, I hate the short-term fill of court coaching.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest issue. Like, oh, you extended me 2 years? Oh. Because in when things are so volatile, if you don't have some guarantees in the world of coaching, you don't have nothing. You don't have nothing. So make an honest man out of him. Say, we're going to make this forever.
Put that ring on the finger.
Yeah, we'll make this forever. Make it a 20-year. I mean, I don't want to get out of control, but, you know, if BYU's like, hey, we don't want to pay him. Well, maybe BYU can look at it and say, well, what if we put 15 years in front of him? Because we can make a pretty nice number look pretty big through 15 years.
Yeah.
And then BYU knows it's always the year announcement.
We're giving you a $15 million contract. And it's 15 years. 15 mil over 15 years. Colin's like, well, that's – I'm actually taking a pay cut. Yeah, but it's 15 years.
Yeah, but doesn't that look pretty? You know you won't be anywhere but here for 15 years. You know, I know I won't be anything but a laughing stock around the coaching world. If that's what we're doing with the assistant pools.
Yeah. Tough decisions. Frankly – I don't think this is a situation, and you know Kalani, you were teammates with him, and you know you broke his back in a hotel room once.
His arm. It was an elbow dislocation. He was fine.
Okay. But I don't think Kalani probably enjoys this process very much. You know what I mean?
No.
This is not fun.
I think I'm sure that he loves the attention. Like, far as, like, hey, we want you to – he's built his craft. It's probably exciting to have some people recognize his craft at a high level. But as far as, like, having to tell somebody no and having to tell somebody yes and having it, that – I'm sure he tells his agent, like, just get me to the signing period.
Well, and you're also – I mean, there's 10 assistant coaches there that are like, am I going to get a raise? Do I have to move my family? Am I going to have to pull my kids out of school? Because they're loyal to Kalani, and Kalani's going to want to take them, and they're thinking, okay, well, I might get a pay raise. And their wife's like, hey, so what's going on? Are we moving? Eugene, I don't want – it rains a lot up there. Is that what we're doing? Can we stay here at BYU? What's – like, we just got braces. He really likes his orthodontist. Like, what's going on?
My mother is right up the hill.
Can you text Kalani and ask him what he's doing? And then the guy's like, oh, I don't know. And then Kalani's like – and Kalani's realizing he got all these people like – All these people are waiting for him to make a decision. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, and then the other layer to that is all the kids that he's been in their front room and he's told them, hey, come play at BYU.
Yeah.
And in the back of his mind, he's thinking, geez, am I going to be telling these kids here in a couple of weeks? Never mind that. Come play at Oregon. That's got to be hard for him, the potential of that. And the fact that he's a BYU guy. He's 100% he's a BYU guy.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that somebody should get taken advantage of. I'm a 1280 guy. Does that mean that you should take advantage of me? I put in the work. There's a market value for me. But I'm a 1280 guy. Yeah. Like, I believe in this brand.
Yeah.
I've been with the zone all but 2 years of my radio career. I believe in this brand. Does that mean, oh, well, he loves being here. Let's take advantage of him. No. He loves being here. We love having him here. He works hard here. Let's take care of him. That's how you handle that.
Yeah.
Not the other way.
All right, 1252, what you may have missed coming up next. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Nick Ford, University of Utah offensive lineman.
The way I look at it going forward with the Rose Bowl is from the youth perspective, I wanted Ohio State because they are the highest ranked team that you could possibly play in that game. So at this point, why not compete with the best to prove once and for all that you guys really are one of the best? How do you look at it?
Same way. I mean, but we got to prepare the same exact way that we've been preparing. They're a good program for sure. They got a lot of reputation. They got a lot of good athletes over there. The same thing like Oregon. We got to go out there, have the same mindset that we've been having for the entire season. Work hard, don't work too much to where you get burnt out, and don't work too little to where you become lazy and complacent, and then just go from there and play the game like it's meant to be played.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, what you may have missed. Brought to you by Built Bar. Whether it's double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, cherry barcia, salted caramel, enjoy a Built Bar 100% chocolate, 100% real delicious. Get that 17 grams of protein. Order yours today at Built.com and save 10% off your order by using the promo code ZONE at checkout.
I know that we are not a soccer show and we don't talk a lot of soccer, but we do appreciate the fine arts of RSL. We do hope that RSL continues to grow and get better. Man, they had a good run.
Yes, they did.
But last night, Florida State took on the BYU women's soccer team, and it was the first time BYU made it to the national championship game. It was the sixth time that – it was the sixth national championship game for Florida State. It's the 12th time they played in the game. It's their sixth national championship. So wow. Florida State is very used to being there. Scotty, last year, Florida State lost in the national championship game in penalty kicks. You know, because you get through regulation, you get through extra time, you go to penalty kicks, PKs. They lost in PKs last year.
Yeah.
They weren't going to do it again this year. So this game goes to penalty kicks, which I absolutely can't stand. Can we just play extra time? Well, it puts them at more risk of exhaustion and injury.
It's a national championship game.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you just make it that rule for just that one game.
Please. And by the way, BYU had this thing. I think they had it won. They got called on offsides. Just stop with the offsides. I know that that is a very pathetic take from a naive individual.
Your soccer nerds are going to get cranky with you on that one.
But what if a wide receiver outran a safety? Just got over the top of a safety.
Oh, heaven forbid. Like, no, he's got to be even with him when the ball's thrown.
Yes. It's like, no, the safety is supposed to stay behind the receiver, and he got sucked in front of the receiver because he was looking at things he shouldn't have been. And if he'd have stayed back, then just – plus, it wouldn't hurt to have a 12-15 score on a national championship.
And how cool it would be to set, like, pick plays to get a guy open down the field.
I know. Just cherry pick them.
Yeah.
Leave somebody that's just sitting down there by the corner of the net, like, with any time you kick
it. That's my job.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. I did play on my fourth grade soccer team.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've not heard this story.
I did. I was a fourth grade soccer team, and we took my little soccer team took second in the school, and we had four little teams that we built.
So you were second out of four?
We were second out of four.
All right.
And the team that beat us had this girl that was – she was – all farm girl, all athlete, all the time. And Jessica Comer was her name.
All right.
And I was the goalie because I just couldn't get up and down the field.
Yeah.
The field is a little bit bigger. It's exhausting. You run. You don't have a lot of timeouts.
Yeah.
And I was heavy. I was husky. So they set me in goal. And boy, did I try. But my but my motor skills were not up to par in fourth grade. And Jessica Comer took me to task.
She beat you up pretty good,
she
huh?
She was so good. And you know what? All through high, because you know how it is in those small towns. You start into school with those girls, and they become like sisters, and you don't date them, and then you go through high school together, and it's like – you're just family.
You pee your pants in the second grade. They're remembering it when you're a junior and senior.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is a problem. It's a curse and a blessing.
Yes.
But all going through. And Jessica became a competitive bodybuilder.
Oh, really?
Yes. And is incredible at what she does. But she destroyed me in soccer. She was a better athlete than me. Always has been. But anyways, I have a little bit of soccer experience.
The moral of the story is...
And I hate to see soccer restricted by a couple of things. And by the way, it feels like offsides is subjective at times.
Yes, and I think it's just a stupid call overall, but, you know, whatever. And
I was really glad to see there's Michaela Colahan who's
– took a nasty looked like a really bad injury there.
Really bad injury. Yeah. And I thought she was done for the night, but she ended up coming back out onto the pitch and did her work, but – BYU falls short in penalty kicks, which is the worst way that you can fall short.
Was it 4-3?
Yes.
Penalty kicks? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, just like make it a rule for your national championship game. You know what? We're going to go until somebody's going to get a goal. They're like, well, they're so tired. Well, okay, well, then somebody's going to take advantage of that and get a goal.
Yeah, or put in your substitutes. Yeah. Do something. But not penalty kicks. It's so ridiculous. I mean, think about being a little – and I don't know what the BYU – goalie is, she's probably 5'8", 130 pounds, and you're this goalie standing in this massive net, and all you got to do is kick it to the corner of this net. You can't get to those things.
Now, as your experience as a goalie, I think you're being really sympathetic towards what she had to go through last night.
I've been there. I know the pain and anxiety that rests on
you
a goalie.
You should reach out to her and be like, hey, look, we all have our Jessicas that we dealt with. I am here for you. I understand the pain that you feel.
Just wanted to extend.
From one high-level goalie to another. feel your pain.
They did not call me Cat. I was not quick in the net. But I was bummed to see it. I wanted to.
Tatanka.
I wanted to see BYU come out of that thing with a win.
All right, we'll kick off your 1 o'clock hour next. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan, 4528 South State Street. Vehicles priced to move, including 0% financing. They've got their Toys for Tots program. Please come by and help support them with that as well. And remember, every vehicle with the forever warranty, so as long as you own it, for as many miles as you put on it, it will be covered. You got to take advantage of it right now. Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street, right here on the Zone Sports Network.